This morning, we're going to do the next part of our study on love as the first part in our study on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to look at the love of Jesus, which again should be one of those big subjects, lots to draw from. I don't know if any of you are like me, where you are interested in ideas that are counterintuitive. That's what I was looking for. Things that don't seem like they should be right, but you look into it and say, oh well, sure enough. Things like water does not actually conduct electricity. It's just the things in water. If you get just pure water, it doesn't conduct electricity. Or it's actually not possible to sink all the way into quicksand. You only go about halfway, and then since it's denser in your body, you'll just get stuck. Still not good, but you're not going to drown in quicksand. Now, some of these things that you hear and say, that can't be right. And you look it up, well, sure enough. I learned something today. Sometimes that happens in the study of the Bible. Like, I remember when somebody told me, when going through the story, the part about him trying to convince people to get on the ark. And Noah's out there and telling everybody storm's coming and nobody believes. I dare you to find that in Genesis. It's not there. It's in all the stories in the kids' classes, so we like to fill out the story, but that part's not there. It's fun sometimes to get that counterintuitive stuff. And I had a little bit of that this week in looking at the love of Jesus. We all know that love is a big part of the gospel. When we were going through the New Testament last year in the Sunday morning class, especially when we were going through those letters, we ended up saying a lot that here is another letter that is mostly about love. And we got towards the end of the year, we talked some about it. Feels like there was a little bit of redundancy because, boy, all of this seems to be about love. And then we say, well, that makes sense, because Jesus taught about love. You know that, right? Jesus, his main point was about love. And if you talk to somebody about the difference between Old Testament and New Testament, they say, well, Old Testament, that's law and judgment stuff. But then Jesus comes and he starts teaching about love. And that's why we talk about the New Testament as being about love. I spent some time this week just tracking out all of the things that Jesus said about love. And I thought I was going to need a lot more lines on my paper. We all know Jesus' message was about love. Jesus was love. Defining trait about Jesus was love. But when I went to see what Jesus actually taught about love, or the times Jesus said, here is how to love, or what or who to love, is a pretty short list. And in fact, all of the references of Jesus saying to love, or teaching to love, come from just a few points in time. There was the Sermon on the Mount, talking about loving your enemies. We talked about that some last week, about how radical that was. And Jesus comes along and says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. We went over that already, so I won't dig into that too much. There was that. There was Jesus being asked about the greatest commandment, and he talks about two things about love, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So he talks about, teaches about love there. Of course, he's quoting scripture. It's not a new teaching, either one of those. They say, what's the greatest command? And he said one from Deuteronomy, and he said one from Leviticus. But they're both about love. And then at the end of John, starting in John 15, and then pretty much through the end when Jesus is talking, he talks a lot about love. That's pretty much it. Jesus didn't teach about love a lot. That surprised me. Does it surprise you? I got a nod. I'm doing something right. Okay. So, why is it that we all know that Jesus' message was about love? And why is it when his disciples start writing about Jesus, you know, like we have the rest of the New Testament, why is it that they know that a message about Jesus is supposed to be about love if he didn't spend time teaching about it? Because we all know that's what it is. And I'm not standing up here saying that's incorrect, because it is correct. The gospel, there's a reason we start with the Spirit, with love, like we said a couple weeks ago. And the gospel really is that message about love. And it really is important in the teaching of Jesus' followers. And it really does come from their time with Jesus. But I don't think that it came from them sitting down and having Jesus talk to them about love. I think the reason that we see the message of the gospel and the content of Jesus' message being love, and the reason that his disciples saw the same thing, wasn't because he sat down and said, I want to tell you all about love. I think, and maybe this is not exactly counterintuitive, maybe this is just obvious. Maybe you'll say, well, we all knew that. I don't know. But the reason for all of that is because Jesus, instead of teaching about love, he just loved. Jesus showed love instead of teaching about love. There were some big ideas he had to bring up. Like we said, love your enemies was something that was somewhat new. There were times that he needed to say something. There were times when somebody asks him a direct question about what's most important. He said, well, I wasn't bringing this up, but now that you ask, love God, love your neighbor. And there were times, like at the end of John, when he is with his closest followers, his closest friends, that he needed to tell them something about love. But when it comes to the actual teaching, it's more about things like kingdom, things like who God is. And yet, in all of that, the message that came through loud and clear for the people around Jesus was love. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 15. Like I had said, this is one of the areas that is most dense with Jesus talking about love. And it's at a time where he is starting to say goodbye. And he's talking to his friends about love. Let's go to John 15, verse 9. If you don't have your Bibles, grab your bulletin. This is in there. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be made complete, and my joy may be in you, and my joy may be made complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. A lot going on in this part here. One thing that jumps out to me, and maybe not others, I don't know. You've probably heard several lessons about the different Greek words for love, right? You heard that? Yeah. I've heard that a lot of places too. In fact, when I was in second or third semester of Greek, fifth semester of Greek, last Greek class that I'd done, I said to my professor, it's kind of strange that I feel like I've heard teaching about the four different words for love in every class except Greek class. He said, well, what do you think that might mean? Well, maybe it's been a little more made of it than it was there. He said, maybe that's the case. And you might have expected those four things for love 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the different ways the Bible looks at love. Now, here's the thing. Now, you may have been told only two of them are in the Bible anyway. Two of them aren't mentioned anywhere. You just have agape and philios. And while I have had arguments with people, friendly Bible class arguments with people, the truth is, they are used pretty much interchangeably. Now, you've probably heard in the lessons, philios, that is you know, the friendly love you have for your friends. And agape, that's the big one, right? That's the God-like love. And so one is big, one is common, both nice. But when Jesus talks about love, he's talking about agape. And the time where I got into the biggest back and forth about this is we're in John 21, where Jesus and Peter keep switching back and forth between the two. Somebody says, see, Jesus wants big love. Peter's only willing to give common, friendly love. And maybe you've heard that lesson too. They use these interchangeably, especially in John. John likes to use synonyms. But what I find interesting here, and I feel backs up that point that I had in that argument, what does Jesus say in here? He says, I love you because you're my friends. He uses agape, the big love. And I say that to you because you are my friends. It's not big love for God, little love for friends. He says, you show this to everyone. He's using both terms there. I may have gone down more of a rabbit hole than I intended on that. But I find it interesting. Maybe you do. We see Jesus talking about friendship not as a minor thing. He talks about showing this love because they are friends. He talks about what it means to love a friend. And some of these ideas that he talks about comes from the ideas of Greek friendship that are maybe a little different than what we talk about, where you see the Greek philosophers, they talk about the two things that somebody does when they love a friend. It says, you speak frankly and honestly to them. We know Jesus does that for his disciples. And the other is, if he is a true friend, you are willing to lay down your life for them. Jesus brings that up. So that's one thing. As I see on your faces, you're not as interested in that as I am. So let's talk about something different. I'm okay with that. What else do we see in the way Jesus talks about his love for these people, for his disciples, his friends? He talks about in verse 9 that this love is not something that is created out of whole cloth there. He says he loves them in the same way the Father loves Jesus. Now, we talked about the love of God, and we're talking about the love of Jesus. We think about what a big thing, you know, God and Jesus as one, as Father, as the Son, as the God, the love that is there between the Father and Jesus. He says he is passing that on to them. He says, what the Father does, I am doing for you. And later he's going to say, as I have done for you, go and do for others. He says that the love that he has is being passed on straight from God to his friends. When Jesus loves someone, and I don't think it's just here with the friends in 15, when Jesus loves somebody, when Jesus tries to show his love to anyone, which I think includes when he's talking about loving your enemies, it is coming straight from God. And he tells them, go and do the same. When you see another person that God has created, keep this idea in mind. As much as God loves you, you are to love them. You know, I was writing up my corner for the bulletin. I started getting on this idea of how great it is to come in the church door and realize we are in a place where God loves every one of us. And I got done writing that, and I put that parenthetical phrase on there because that kind of came to my mind as I got done talking about how what a wonderful thing to know when we come into church that God loves every one of us and we share that and we have that in common. It hit me that, well, when we go out the door, when we leave the church, all the people we see there, it's the same thing. All the people outside of the church, God loves just as much. And we have that same kinship in that way. And so Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I love you. Passing that on from God to others. What a special thing. But as I said before, I don't think they needed these statements to know these things. I have a feeling that anybody that came across or came into contact with Jesus learned something about the love of Jesus, whether he brought it up or not. I think Jesus taught more about love in the way that he loved people than in any kind of theological statement that he made. Do you ever know somebody that kind of had that quality about them? That just oozing love, for lack of a better term, where you just know that person, whether they're saying it or not. You think about love, you think about that person. I was reminded of a story from when I was a kid. I've shared that my family has made many impacts on the Lapeer Church of Christ. I may have worked there in a few ministry capacities. My family was impacting it long before that. For one, when my brother was playing a game and tripped over a stick and put his head through glass door, we got new plexiglass doors at Lapeer, courtesy of the Pratts testing things out. I may have broken a few things that got upgraded afterward. My sister Alyssa, I know many of you have met, she helped get the outside of the building renovated some. We had these very pretty shrubs around the building on the outside, and they had these nice round blue berries on them. We all knew not to eat the little blue berries on the shrubs. Alyssa was very little, though. She ate some of the little blueberries on the shrubs. And took her down the street to the hospital. And something that, if you know Alyssa now, you wouldn't know this. She was one of those very, very shy kids. She was the leg clinger. She was the one that even people at church that she knew all her life, or they knew her all her life, she didn't want to talk to anybody. And some of you may know Steve Ennis, who was the minister at Lapeer for a while. I've said at times that if there's a man nicer than Steve Ennis, I'm not sure I want to know that person, because that'd just be too much. Steve is one of the people that I think of who just kind of exudes love, and he'd tell you. You don't get away from Steve without hearing, "I love you." And he would always try to get Alyssa to talk to him. He'd get right down there and she'd hide behind a leg, and he'd say, "Well, I just want you to know I love you." And when Alyssa was at the hospital after eating blueberries, later that day, my dad drove back to the building and ripped up those plants all around the building, and so the outside looks differently, our family. Alyssa was pretty scared. She was a little kid, shy little kid, and she was in a hospital for probably the first time. And they were my mom was talking to her, trying to see what she needs, and she said, "Can you go get that man who loves me?" She wouldn't ever talk to Steve. And he worked on her. Something about the way she was scared, something about what she was experiencing there, made her think about, "Who do I need here?" And she couldn't even think of his name. She said, "Can you go get that man who loves me?" And he got there pretty fast when my parents made that call. And there was something special after that time between Steve and Alyssa. Steve was a smart guy with degrees who could tell you a lot about the nature of love. He could probably bore you with the same stuff that I bored you with, that I found interesting there. But that's not what resonated with Alyssa. He showed the love. And I think that's what we see with Jesus. People knew where Jesus stood. People knew how Jesus felt about them. In fact, this might sound a lot like Alyssa. How did John describe himself in the Gospel of John?
the disciple Jesus loved.
I think there's something to that. I don't think Jesus said, you know what? You're the one that I love. You're the guy. More than all the others. You know, pull him off to the side. You know it's you, right? I think that when John looks back at his time with Jesus, and we see in the letters of John, love's all over him. I think he looked back, and when he thinks about Jesus, he thinks, that's the guy who loved me. To the point that he thinks of himself as, I am somebody that is loved by Jesus. I think there is something far more special and far more meaningful about showing love than there ever can be about teaching about it. Which might make me feel a little silly that I'm in week 3 out of 4 about teaching about it. But I'm going to try to show it as well. I think if we want to love like Jesus, if we want to show the love of Jesus, if that's the idea for this week, I think we can get all tied up in word studies, and we can get all tied up in biblical references and quotes, but if we want to love like Jesus, I think we want to understand how to love like Jesus, we simply need to treat people with love. We need to treat people like they are deserving of being loved. Not that they have to prove anything, but we need to have the same standard of love from Jesus. Remember, Jesus' standard of love was love that he received from the Father. Are any of you loved by God? As followers of Jesus, it is our responsibility to take that love and do something with it. If we have a chance of teaching somebody about the gospel, if we have a chance of bringing somebody in to be a part of the church, to be a part of the promises of the gospel, we have to learn this ability to love like Jesus, who is able to see in each person something worth loving. That can be difficult. That's why it's something we learn. That's why it's something we need to work on. I think that we are all capable of passing that love on. And that's where we're going to conclude for next week. We're going to talk about how do we take these lessons from our 3 weeks of looking in the Bible about love, how can we turn that love outward? How can we look like Jesus and show that we have learned something about love from our weeks here studying it? So I guess that's another to be continued. But I think we can all appreciate time spent in the example of Jesus, who knew an awful lot about love, but even more so than that, loved an awful lot and showed that to people. So if there's anything you need this morning, if you need to come up and feel some love, if you need to share, if you need to talk about some blessing in your life, share something that God has done for you, we invite you to come forward and be together with us this morning. If there is anything you need, please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of